And so today, as we have previously noted, we're continuing a four-part teaching series that we call the Simple Series. And in this series, we're describing and explaining in some detail that model of ministry that we're presently pursuing here at Holy Cross, a model of ministry designed to help us be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ and to help us help others to be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Indeed, being disciples of Jesus Christ and helping others to do the same is the church's primary purpose and mission. Indeed, it was Jesus who said, and we have his words recorded for us in the 28th chapter of Matthew, sometimes referred to as the Great Commission. Matthew 28, and beginning at verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, he said to the 12 and other apostles and other followers in the Galilee, all authority, Jesus says, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so since this is what Jesus wants us to be doing, he wants us to be disciples, he wants us to make disciples. In fact, part of being a disciple is being a disciple maker. At Holy Cross, we're attempting as best we can to make this simple purpose the primary focus of all that we do. And the process for accomplishing this simple purpose is as simple as the purpose itself. Indeed, in order to be disciples of Jesus Christ ourselves and to help others to be disciples, we want to commit ourselves and invite others to join us in the pursuit of a simple four-step process. Now, to help us get a handle on the process, we've created this simple visual. The first step is to worship God regularly, and we talked quite a bit about that last week. Step two is to grow together faithfully, to worship God regularly, to grow together faithfully. Step three, and I often think about this when we're at the Lord of the Streets. Step three, to serve others lovingly. And step four, to mature in Christ continuously. And if you look at the visual there, you start at step one, and it's dark, and the day is dawning. Step one, and step two is at the top of the day. Step three is evening is coming, and step four, to mature in Christ continuously, takes us right back to step one. So this isn't like, you do step one, you do step two, you do step three, you do step four, and now you're all done. What this does is this gives us a place to start and maybe to add something. And the point is that we just keep on doing them and doing them and doing them. Today we're talking about the second step in the process, and that is to grow together faithfully. To grow together faithfully. And notice that step two is something that we do together. Indeed, the first two words of step two are grow together. Not grow alone in isolation, but grow together in community. Indeed, all of us are created in the image and likeness of God. And interestingly enough, and we talk about this generally on Trinity Sunday and whenever else we're talking about the Trinity, God is a community of persons. Isn't that interesting? God is a community of persons, and we're created in the image of a community of persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit do everything together. Together they create. The Father creates, the Son creates, the Holy Spirit creates. We know that from the Scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. And we come to John, and it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was created without him. And together they sustain what they have created. And together, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they enter into covenant relationship with us. And they love each other. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and the Father loves the Spirit. And then they invite us into and to share in their community of love. As someone has said, the point of the Christian life is not making God a part of your life. The point of the Christian life is God making you a part of God's life. And just as the members of the Trinity do all things together, so God means for us to do all things together as well, as we've been made in God's image and likeness. Indeed, God means for us to grow together spiritually, not in isolation, but rather in community, not just facing forward together as you're doing now in worship, but facing one another in what sometimes we refer to as a small group, in settings where we can actually see each other face to face and make an impact on one another for good. Nicky Gumbo, a one-time vicar of Holy Trinity Church, Brompton, in the Diocese of London, famously said, and said it often, that big things often happen in small settings. And that's especially true when it comes to discipleship. Howard Hendricks, in his book, The Living by the Book, he wrote and said that you can impress others from a distance. You can impress them from a distance. But to really make an impact on others, you have to get up close. And it's by making a spiritual impact on each other for good that our lives are transformed. At Holy Cross, and maybe you've noticed this, even if you're new, you walk in and you see that banner out by the welcome kiosk. And on the banner is our threefold motto: welcoming all, transforming lives, glorifying God. And it's when our lives are being transformed that God is glorified in us. When our character is being changed, when we are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Dan Allender, in the film The Heart of Man, he said this. He said, God isn't trying to get us to conform. Rather, God is inviting us to be radically transformed. And more often than not, real radical, I mean real change, real spiritual transformation takes place in small settings. And by the way, Jesus knew this. Jesus met regularly with his disciples and potential disciples in small settings. How many disciples did he have? Do you remember? The apostles? How many? 12. Well, there's a small group. The Holy Cross men meet on Saturday mornings, anywhere between 8 and 12 people. Small group, good number. And then Jesus met with the three. You remember that? He had a special relationship with 25% of that group. So he had the 12 and then he had the three. Remember their names? Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John when Jesus went in and healed Jairus' daughter. And then Jesus sent one. You can't get a smaller group than that. And Jesus' famous conversation with a woman who came to get water at the well in the middle of the day because she was an outcast in her own community. And Jesus had a conversation with her that led to the conversion of that community. And the apostles continued this same process of disciple making. Jesus passed it on to them, doing ministry in both large settings and small settings. And in fact, Jack read from Acts chapter 2 that describes this. Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 41. And so those who received Peter's word were baptized. And we read verse 42, and they devoted themselves. What did they devote themselves to? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, constantly rehearsing it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship with other believers, to the breaking of bread, which is code language for Holy Communion, and the prayers. And Luke continues to describe, and awe came upon every soul. And many, in fact, I meet with three groups, two groups every week, and sometimes every other week, three groups. About this last week, I met with met in three groups with about 15 other people total. The Friday meeting, where there was four of us at the Schlotzky's, you know. And it was, I could tell, it was really something. And then I made some contact with the group, and one wrote back, you know, and saying, wow, you know, I enjoy when we have these meetings, but that meeting was really something. And what was the center of what we were doing? I think we were looking at three verses of scripture. And God just touched us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as many as had need, and day by day, attending temple together. That's a big setting. And breaking bread in their homes. And having these studies, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's a small setting. And praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so if we would grow as disciples of Jesus Christ, that process of growth and transformation will include growing together in small settings. And so step two in the process for being and making disciples begins with the invitation to grow together. But it doesn't happen automatically. And so step two, stated in its entirety, is grow together faithfully. Indeed, spiritual growth and transformation doesn't happen automatically, and it certainly doesn't happen accidentally. Indeed, those who grow spiritually are deliberate and faithful about it. They do what they need to do in order to grow. It was Gregory Boyle in his great book. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it, Tattoos on the Heart. And he said this, the slow work of God gets done when we are faithful. The slow work of God gets done when we are faithful. And growth and transformation takes time. And that's why we must be faithfully devoted to it. Someone else has written, people who are serious about something always make room for it in their schedules. People who are serious about something always make room for it in their schedules. You know that. There's not a person here that isn't serious about something. And the things that you're serious about, that's what you do during the week. And the things that maybe aren't so important, well, maybe you'll do it, maybe you won't. And so those who are growing spiritually are deliberate and faithful about it, and they do it in community together with other believers, facing each other, looking each other in the eye. I was sort of tickled at this, the Holy Cross men on Saturday morning. I think there was eight of us. And we always check in. I mean, that's... by the way, not only is the purpose simple and the process simple, but every piece of the process is simple. We meet and we check in. How you doing, Ken? What's going on with you? How you doing? Right. On and on. How you doing, Scott, Adam, Hector, whatever. How you doing, right? Well, one of the guys started talking about what a hard time he was having with the insurance claim. Oh my gosh, I mean, I had to like pull him in. There was like 10 to 15 minutes of intense talk about those, I'm sorry if any of you sell insurance, but anyway, or worse, the insurance adjuster, right? But then after we check in, then we go to the scriptures, and we go to the always the scriptures, and then maybe the book we're reading, Mere Christianity. What did you see this week that made a difference? And they're committed to it, and so they look each other in the eye and they interact with one another. And it's in this context of smallness that big things happen. Indeed, it's in the small context that we're able to do the one another's. You're familiar with that, you know, one another. If you've spent any time in the New Testament, one another. Do this to one another. Our reading today, John chapter 13, love one another. Hebrews 3 and 13, encourage one another. Galatians 5 and 13, serve one another. Ephesians 4 and 2, be patient with one another. Philippians 2 and verse 3, honor one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, build up one another. In fact, Rick Warren, in his famous book, is still published, people are still reading it now after 20-some years, The Purpose-Driven Life. And Rick Warren writes, he says, over 50 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another is used. We're commanded to love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, admonish one another, greet one another, serve one another, teach one another, accept one another, honor one another, forgive one another, submit to one another, and be devoted to one another. And he continues, and these are the family responsibilities that God expects you to fulfill through the local fellowship. And then he asks the question, are you doing these? And then he continues, it may seem easier to be holy when no one else is around to frustrate your preferences. But that is a false, untested holiness. Isolation breeds deceitfulness, he says. And it is easy to fool ourselves into thinking that we are spiritually mature if there's no one around to challenge us. But real maturity emerges where relationships exist. And the key to the one another's is reciprocation. You invest in me and I invest in you. And so church life isn't just about gathering together to get something. Rather, it's just as much about gathering together to give something. And those who are growing spiritually are doing so because they're committed to it and because they deliberately resist those habits that keep them from growing. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, wrote about this. This is not a new problem. This is as old as the New Testament. He wrote this, let us consider, here's another one another, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Why are you loving? Why are you pursuing the good? I don't know, my sister at the small group said, let's do it. And we all said, yeah, let's love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Yeah, and how are we going to do it? Well, let's sit down and think about it. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day, that is the day of the Lord's coming, even as you see the day drawing near. And as I said, I don't hardly need to tell you that not everyone in the church is growing and maturing. And this is not a new problem. Paul writing to the Corinthians. Oh, the Corinthians. It's sort of interesting. Seemingly, Paul wrote to the Corinthians more than anyone, and they were a troublesome bunch. And they didn't like him very much. In fact, they said, you know what? I don't even like looking at Paul. His presence is weak and his speech is worse. But he wrote to them, and he tried to pastor them. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, for you're still of the flesh. For while there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Or the writer to the Hebrews again. Chapter 5, verse 11. He says, and about this we have much to say, but it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. to talk about these. You're not used to hearing this stuff because you don't hear it very often. About this we have much to say, but hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time, since you made a profession of faith, you should be a teacher. Isn't this how we professionalize all of this? Well, of course, I'm not a teacher. That's what Scott does. You know when I started teaching? I don't know, maybe I give myself a month. I think about a month after my conversion, I'd come to the youth group. Well, God made this huge, great change in my life. One of the changes was all of a sudden this Bible, all of a sudden I know what it means. And I'm reading and I'm reading. And in our youth meetings on Tuesday nights, they would say, does anybody have anything to share? Well, that was great for me because I was ready to explode. And so I would stand up and I'd say, hey, you know, I'm reading through the Psalms, and I got to Psalm 40, and the psalmist tells my story. I cried out to the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he put a new song in my mouth, and he delivered me from the miry clay, and he put my feet on a rock. Isn't that great? And some of them smiled, and those who were there because their parents made them come, they kind of looked at me like, who is this nutcase? And the more I learned, the more I shared. About this we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. And though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. And so what to do? Well, I want to invite you to work the steps. It's simple. Make step one a priority, not an option. Worship God regularly. And then add step two and grow together faithfully. Bring your kids to Holy Cross Children and Holy Cross Teens and go to Holy Cross Men and Holy Cross Women. Or why not reach out to a friend or two and maybe even invite somebody that you don't know so well. Make it the three of you. Set a regular time to meet together at your home or at a coffee shop. Check in with each other. How's everything going? In fact, lots of times in all of these settings, whether I'm doing this with the staff or doing it with the lunch group or doing it with Holy Cross Men on Saturday, and people would check in and say, hey, this is what's going on in my life. And I'll say, let's pray. Or somebody will say, this is going on, and my auntie and whatever, and my cousins and so on. And I'll say, hey, Bill, would you pray? Would you pray? And so get together, check in with each other, and then study some short passages of Scripture. Start with your favorite verses. I've had a discussion, some of you know, you were there, right? Over lunch, over one verse. And somebody reads it, and we're all looking for a word of phrase. How many knows how that works, right? Word of phrase, right? Have you done African Bible study here? No? Yes? What's your word of phrase? Read it again. Okay, good. Now remind us what your word of phrase is. Well, my word was delight. Okay, well, tell us about it. Why do you suppose that popped out to you? Right? And then you read it a third time, and then you say, so what do you sense God's telling you to do? It's so simple, and yet so rich and life-transforming. In fact, there's several reading schedules that you can find in the gathering space there. And then I think there's also a sheet there for how to do an African Bible study. Many times the scriptures that I bring to the group are ones that I just read the other day. And I said, those three verses, that'll work great at Schlotsky's. And then watch and see what God does, because you're serious about growing in your faith. And so the process for being and making disciples is simple enough. Step one is worship God regularly. Step two is grow together faithfully. And next week we'll unpack step number three. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you're too good to ignore. We love what the psalmist said, Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy, and your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And as Paul wrote, and godliness is beneficial not only in the life to come, but even in the present life. I mean, there's nothing to be lost in any of this. Unless we just fear that, God, you might take away the dark side that exists in our lives. But that's what it is. It's the dark side. It's dark. And nothing good generally happens in the dark. You can't see what's coming. You can't see where you're going. But you are light. And you are truth. And you are power. And you are joy. And you are peace and contentment. You are shalom. And all of these things are things that we have to gain if we would become serious about this step. And so, Lord, give us the courage. And maybe we don't have any experience to draw and say, oh, I don't know. And just give us courage just to take the step and get involved and see what you do, because we made ourselves available to your hand. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.